morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. It's so good to see you all this morning. I have a couple of announcements to share with you this morning. First, I would like to welcome everyone who is here for baby Amelia's baptism. We're so excited that you are joining us this morning. Just a couple of logistical things. If you need to use the restroom or anything, you want to head out the sanctuary door and then just keep making lefts, and the bathrooms are back there. Feel free to take any pictures that you want to take during the ceremony, but if you do, just please don't have your flash on, because then I'll start seeing double, which is not great. but feel free otherwise to take pictures. A couple of announcements to share with you, with the congregation, about what's going on this week. Deacons, remember, we have a deacon meeting after our church service in the library, so we will plan to meet there. Session, don't forget, we are having our session dinner this Wednesday night at 6:30. If you have not let me know that you're coming, let me know so we can know how much food to bring. I think those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. At this time, I invite you to rise as you are able for our opening hymn, number 305, Come Sing, O Church, in Joy. Seated. Friends, in preparation for the baptism that is about to take place, we are going to sing Child of Blessing, Child of Promise. You can remain seated for that song.
slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember with joy our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session, I present Amelia Lewis, and Dalton and Christine to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Dalton and Christy, I have some questions for you. Do you desire for Amelia to be baptized? So please say, we do.
We do.
Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach the faith to your child? So please say, we do.
We do.
I have a question for us all as well. Do we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Amelia by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and be faithful in her ministry? If so, we say, we do.
We do.
Let us pray. We give thanks, eternal God, for your nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. Send your spirit to move over this water, that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it. Raise them to new life and graft them to the body of Christ. Pour out your spirit upon them, that they may have power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now, forever.
Amen. Thank you. Amelia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to walk all around so everyone can see you, okay?
Please join with me in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us admit our sin, so that as you come to us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Lord, have mercy upon us, heal and forgive us, set us free to serve you in the world as agents of your reconciling love. In Jesus Christ, amen.
Glory be to the Father, and
profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another from our seats. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Please be seated as we sing together in Christ Alone. friends, before I offer the pastoral prayer, I have a personal update to share with you all that is a joy. I found out this weekend that my sister is expecting. I am going to be an aunt, which I'm thrilled about. Hey, oh, thank you. But yes, she is very early in her pregnancy, so if you could keep her in your prayers as, you know, she is dealing with all of those first trimester funsies, as we like to call them. Friends, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have assured the human family the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. We ask that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, this morning we lift up to you the family and friends of David Rao who are mourning his passing. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, I give you thanks and praise that my sister is expecting. I pray that you would be with her during this precarious first trimester. Speaking of babies, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for baby Amelia and for the opportunity to celebrate her baptism today. Lord, we also give you thanks and praise that Jonathan graduated and that his graduation party was over the past weekend. We pray that you would be with him as he makes plans for his future. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise for our hymn of meditation, Sanctuary.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering.
Congratulations to Amelia and her parents. Today's reading is from Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside his flesh, the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity without of the two, thus making peace in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God and people, and also those members of his household, built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This summer, we're working our way through some of the epistles or some of the letters that were written to the early churches. I think it's really fun to learn and read about these early churches, to learn what they struggled with, to maybe see a little bit of ourselves in their struggles, and also to use the wisdom that we gain from reading these letters and use it to help us work through our own struggles today. This morning we have a passage from the letter to the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was a church in Asia Minor in the late first century, living under Roman rule. Now, this was a culture where emperors were treated like gods, and these emperors did not take too kindly to any one or any group of people challenging their authority. This is also a culture where the family you were born into really mattered, because your birth determined your lot in life. Into this historical context, the author decides to talk about divisions and why divisions are so harmful in the life of the church. Now, divisions are kind of common anytime you get a group of people together, but these divisions cannot be allowed to distract us from what we have in common, the hope we have for our future, won for us by Jesus on the cross. Now, I think it's helpful to understand what the author is talking about here when he talks about circumcision and the difference between Jews and Gentiles. In the ancient Near East, humanity was kind of divided into two categories. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. Now, Jewish people were a kind of small minority, and they identified as such because they understood themselves to be children of the covenant, or they thought they had a special relationship with God. And they illustrated this special relationship they had with God through this practice called circumcision. It was a way for them to identify as Jewish people, but it was also a way for them to prove their devotion to God. Gentiles were basically everybody else, everybody who was not Jewish. Gentiles were not circumcised. And Jewish people did not consider Gentiles to be part of God's chosen people. And Jewish people considered themselves to be a little bit superior to Gentiles. And Gentiles didn't understand the point of following all the rules of Judaism. As you can imagine, these differences led to religious tension that just recycled itself over the centuries. But all of this changes when Jesus enters the picture. Jesus enters the picture and changes the entire course of human history. No longer do people exist as just Jews or Gentiles, but now everyone has the possibility of existing as a child of God. Out of these two distinct groups of people, Jesus sought to create a new humanity. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. Basically, what the author is trying to say here is that because of Jesus, sin doesn't have the power to divide the world in the way that it once did. Since all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, all need Jesus and the peace that comes with the forgiveness of our sins. This is something that Jesus did for us out of love. But with it comes this new responsibility, the responsibility to figure out how to live as citizens of God. One way that we figure out how to live as citizens of God is through the sacrament of baptism. In baptism, we teach children that they are called, claimed, and marked as God's own. And we also proclaim that they are no longer children of the world. They are children of God. It is in our common baptisms that we embody Christian unity. In the Presbyterian tradition, we often baptize children before they really understand what's happening to them in baptism. And I've really grown to appreciate the symbolism of this. In baptism, we're bearing witness to our belief that God chose and God claimed and God called us before we could choose or claim or call upon God ourselves. I also love that we always do baptism in the context of worship, because we're saying that it's impossible for any of us to live out our baptisms apart from each other, apart from a worshiping community. We need Jesus, but we also need each other to live as citizens of God. So how do we do this? How do we live out our baptismal identities, you know, not just on the day of our baptisms? Well, I have a few thoughts on that. I actually think summertime is a really wonderful time to think about living out our baptismal identities, which, in its simplest form, is learning to listen to the still small voice of God at work in our lives. This week, I was doing some work to prepare for our fall Bible study, and I've been reading a book on prayer that's called Creating a Life with God, and it's written by Daniel Wolpert. This book offers different practices on how to listen to God's voice through prayer. This week, I've been working on a practice called Lectio Divina. It is this ancient practice of prayerfully reading scripture. As a pastor, I get asked all the time, "Pastor, how do I read the Bible?" Every time I sit down and try to read it, it's just so complicated and I get overwhelmed and I just want to stop. Well, to that, I offer you this practice of Lectio Divina. Lectio begins by selecting a passage of scripture. You don't want to overcomplicate this. I usually choose to read one of the daily scripture readings because I can just pull it up on my phone. After you've picked your passage, you read through the passage once, and you just write down one word or one phrase that stuck out to you. This could be maybe a word you don't understand, or this could maybe just be a phrase that kind of caught your interest. Then you offer a prayer based on this reading. And you kind of end your time by contemplating any action that God might be calling you to as a result of your reading. I really love Lectio because I am somebody who likes having some structure in my prayer time. And Lectio gives me structure, but it also gives me some freedom to kind of maybe go off script a little bit, if that's where the Spirit is leading me. I definitely spent most of my prayer time on Wednesday looking up the word adherent, and then reflecting on what it means to adhere to God. The other thing I really love about Lectio is that it's a great way for a group of people to read scripture together. I think this is an especially useful practice, say, at the beginning of a meeting, where the people who are gathered are really anxious about the outcome of this meeting. I find that if we start the meeting by reading scripture together with some structure and guidance, this can lower the temperature of the room and remind people how to live into their baptismal identities together. Friends, whether you are newly baptized or you can't remember your baptism because it was so long ago, all of us need a little bit of help in figuring out how to live out this call together. My hope and my prayer for us this summer is that we would take some time to seek the still small voice of God in our daily lives. Whether that stillness happens on a beach, in a stream, or at a community pool, God is with us always. Let us go out into the world, leaning into the call of our baptism as we face a divided world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, number 634, To God Be the Glory. Before I send you out into the world, let me offer you a word of blessing. We know our efforts cannot bring in God's kingdom, but hope plunges us into the struggle for victories over evil that are possible now in the world, the church, and our individual lives. Hope gives us courage and energy to contend against all opposition, however invincible it may seem, for the new world and the new humanity are surely coming. Jesus is Lord. He has been Lord from the beginning. He will be Lord at the end. Even now, He is Lord. Amen.